Today on Real Life Radio.
If you yield your life to his salvation, he will give you his salvation and forgive you of your sins. And when that happens, you will wake up to the reality of why you ever were given life in the first place.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Why Series with a message called Theology and Me, Part 5. You know, the Bible tells us in Genesis that we were made in God's image. But as humans, who are we? And how can we apply what we know about God to our lives these days? You see, theology is the study of God. And the remarkable truth about God is that he comes to us through his Spirit. He is a personal God who wants to give us a life worth living, to stir us up, and to move us away from the desires of our flesh and towards the amazing life of walking in the Spirit. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that our purpose in life has been waiting for us all along. God has put us here for a relationship with him, to give us love through his Spirit, and in turn to share his love with others. And now in his message called Theology and Me, Part 5, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the, this is scary, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's one of Satan's names. Yikes. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Just as the others. But God, verse 4, hallelujah. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, here it is, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, hallelujah, not of rules and regulations and morality, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wow, what an amazing thing. You guys, imagine up here a big glove, and it's just a glove. And your life is over here, and you've been a non-believer, a non-follower of Jesus. You've lived your life. It's all for yourself. You're trying to, you know, just do, live for you, think about you. It's all about you. And all of a sudden, you start to get shaken. Your thoughts, issues, situations really rock your world. And you're wondering, what do I have? What's going on? And so you start to check the bases and check the pulse. And you begin to realize, I think I'm scared. I'm in trouble. I don't know what to do. And the thought enters your mind, I think I need God, or something to that effect. The amazing thing is, across the room over here is a glove with your name on it. Every human being has that glove with their name on it. And some gloves never get filled. Some gloves never get that life. And that glove are works that God created for your life before the world was ever created. Works meaning, if you yield your life to his salvation, he will give you his salvation and forgive you of your sins. And when that happens, you will wake up to the reality of why you ever were given life in the first place. And when that happens, guess what? The works, watch, you come over here now, you wake up to Christ and you enter in out of this relationship with him, and the Holy Spirit takes your life and fits you just right inside of that glove. And you wake up to the realization that the real purpose of your life has been waiting for you all along. But so many people die never knowing that. They refuse. they won't go. They won't go in. They won't open up. They won't call out. That's why we as Christians, we get out of control sometimes trying to get you to make a decision for Jesus. Come on, come on. Well, I'll buy you breakfast. Come to church. I'll drive. I'll buy you gas, a tank of gas. You want to go? I'll go. You know what I'm saying? I said, man, Pastor, how'd you know that? My Christian friend's driving me nuts. You know what? I understand that. I understand that on both ends, but here's the reason why. They're clumsy. We're all clumsy. Because you know what? We love your soul more than you do, and we don't know how to handle that. You don't even care about going to heaven. We're not only going, we want you with us. And the only time we're going to be happy is when we get up there. God will wipe away. If you're not with us, God will wipe away our memory of you, but that's up there. Now we grieve for you. Does that make sense, I hope? I know Christians are real pain. They're pushy and they bug you and they don't do this anymore. But my day when I was young, there were things called chick tracks. Jack chick. Remember those? They were tracks. They're about this big and you turn it, tells a story. This man, blah, 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 and he died. And those things were all over the world. And people used to put them in your lunchbox. People used to put them in... Oh, yeah, they're everywhere. It's like, oh, man, people used to walk around the beach, hand them out to people. You're just laying there at the beach. Excuse me, here you go. They're everywhere. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Yes. Remember those? There's about seven of us that remember that. The rest of you are just too young. It was crazy. But we're clumsy because we want you with us. And the word being, in him we have our being. This word means our person to be, listen, body aware, mind aware, spirit aware. It all comes together. Wow, wait a minute. I have a purpose in my being, my very existence. I tell you what, man, you want to find out why you exist? You should become a follower of Jesus. He's the one that made you. We read that in John. He made you. You should go to him. So why'd you make me? He'll tell you. He's very good about that. And so I want you to consider this, and we'll go for like another minute, I think, maybe, we'll see. But theology and me, consider this. We are to be walking in the Spirit. You've read that 1,000 times in your Bible. But here's the reason why, and this is what God does. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And this is God's love. God's love is perfect, church. His love is not messy. His love is absolutely perfect. Now, listen, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The Holy Spirit, the fruit, the evidence of God in your life is love. Does that mean you are going to be loving 100% all the time? No. I wish. We all wish. It is if we walk in the Spirit. But to walk in the Spirit is to maintain this relationship, not maintain the religion. You want rules and regulations? You want a little checkbox? You want to have 20 lines that you fill in? This is not the place for you. And the Bible is not the book for you. And Jesus is not the God for you. But if you understand that you've already gone through all of that stuff and none of it transformed your life and none of it worked, then you're in the right place. Because the Bible says, walk in the Spirit. Why? Because if you walk in the Spirit, there's this reaction called the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, and this is as far as we'll go tonight, which is kind of appropriate that we'll end at this word, is the word love. And all those other descriptions of love that you see beyond that is simply that. The fruit, notice, it's the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love. That's it. That's it. The fruit of the Spirit is love. From love comes joy, peace, long-suffering. Look, you know this is true if you read it this way. But the fruit of the Spirit is, if you don't have love, then faithfulness isn't going to be working for you. You can be faithful and you not have love. That's worthless. You can be, what's one of their goodness? You can do goodness, but don't have love. See, this dovetails right into 1 Corinthians 13. Remember what the 1 Corinthians 13 tells us? We can have all of these incredible gifts and all of these talents and all of these, events and wealth and deeds. But if you don't have love, then it's just a bunch of noise. And the fruit of the Spirit, if God is in your life operational, then he's driving you toward love. Always toward love. The Bible says, let's test your Bible knowledge. The Bible says God is
love.
Love. And so the Spirit of God desires to have his love work in your life. And I'm very grateful for that. I would be very nervous if God would say, it's my desire that I have your love at work in your life. Well, that's pretty bad, because my love, human love is, what have you done for me lately? Human love is, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. Human love is, I'll give you 10 bucks, but what's in it for me? Human love is flawed, it's faulty, it's messed up, and even at its best, there's some motive down beneath. You say, that's very mean. That's a terrible thing for you to say. In comparison to God's love, our love is wretched. If you want to compare your love to the people around you, then maybe yours is spectacular. But then the Bible says, when we compare ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. Isn't that true? All of our jars are cracked. Right? All of our pots are broken, but we're criticizing, hey, I'm better than you are. Well, you still have a cracked pot. Yeah, but I'm still better than you. Your pot is cracked. But my pot is cracked less than your pot. You've got a cracked pot. Listen, God's love is perfect. And here, the Spirit of God ministers his love through us when we walk with him. It's very cool. See, how do we do this? Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna end right now. We're gonna pray. But when we traffic with someone, if we're on a trip with someone, if you're in the same train with someone, or the same plane with someone, there could be 300 people on that airplane. Y'all feel the same bumps. Y'all get the same meal. Sadly, you're all breathing the same air. You're together. And when you are with a person or a team or a group, there's bonding that takes place. I heard a beautiful thing tonight from one of our brothers here at church. I asked how he was doing, and he said, fantastic, and he shared a little thing about one of his children who had made mention that this COVID year has been the greatest year of our lives. It couldn't have been better, because they had gotten married and the dynamics were such that they were able to spend time together and just bond. That, think about it. How does that happen? Together all the time. When you're together, you begin to almost finish each other's thoughts. Have you noticed that I was told this years ago, and it seems like it's true, but the older people grow together, couples get older together. And I know it's true in Lisa and I's life. We've been married for over 40 years, and we'll be driving around or we'll watch something and we'll both at the same time. It's great for us, it's sad for you, but if you're in the theater with us or something and we see isn't that great? We'll both turn to each other and go, isn't that great? With us too. You understand what I'm saying? It's kind of creepy if like some woman 3 aisles over does that, or some man 5 aisles over does that. No, but when you're bonded together, when you walk in the Spirit, you're walking with the Spirit. So you're doing this. Good morning, Lord. It's a beautiful tomorrow, Thursday morning. And Lord, what do you want to do today? Because I do have to go to work. I'm going to be leaving soon. Lord, you know all this. But I want to be open to what you want to do today. And as I've read these portions of scripture, in fact, I just I just, like this, I'll just do it like this. Now, you don't do this at home, you get hurt, but you know, you want to read through the Bible with purpose, not, but he who receives me receives he who sent me, and he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall get a prophet's reward. So if that was my reading that day, I would say, Lord, as I go about my day today, I'm just going to remember that. And Lord, if you want to use me as a prophet to those around me today to speak love and life into their lives, I'm ready. If you want to put something in my mouth to speak in the moment, then you do that. But I'm yielded to you today, Lord, and I'm delighted that by your grace, I've received you into my life because you came after me first. And I want to thank you for pulling me out of this cesspool world and putting heaven before me. So Lord, just use me today if you would. And God, please help my mind to be kept to this commitment. Lord, thank you. And I'll talk to you in a minute or two. Right? Because the channel's always open. Right? You just leave the door open when you're... And you start walking and you start musing on that word. Wow. Lord, use me today like a prophet. I tell you what, man, your life would be transformed because the Holy Spirit says, oh, yeah. Oh, this is good. So I'm going to read a portion of Scripture. I'm going to ask you to just sit there. I'm going to ask you to consider this. In Luke chapter 11, the disciples, they knew who he was. And they knew who the Holy Spirit was. By now, the Holy Spirit's in their life, at work. But there had not yet been a Pentecost, the power coming upon them. But listen to this. And I speak to the believer tonight. In Luke 11, verse 5, let this wash over you. And he, Jesus, said to them, which of you shall have a friend? And go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me three loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. Now he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are in bed with me in bed. I cannot rise to give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, so the man just kept knocking, I need bread for my friend. Because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask. Jesus says to us tonight, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Church, did you hear that?
Yes.
Everyone who asks receives, says Jesus. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? I'm really hungry. Can I have some bread? Here. Here, kid, chew on this rock. No one's going to do that. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake instead of a fish? Can you imagine? Who knows? Nobody does that. And Jesus is playing off of this, of course. Or if he asks for an egg, are you going to give him a scorpion? If you then being evil, that means fallen in nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? See, Jack, I'm a Christian. I thought I had the Holy Spirit. You do. He's inside of you. We'll talk more about that next week when we finish this. He's inside of you. The moment you accepted Christ, he came inside. And there's awesome doctrine. He's under orders. He can't leave. You should know that. He cannot leave you. He's under the orders of Jesus. He can't leave. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon you. It's different. The word is epi. E-P-I. Do you remember when the believers were in the upper room? Jesus had ascended back to heaven and they're all hiding out. And 120 of them were hiding out praying. They had not gone public. They didn't have the power to go public. They had the message, but they had no power. They had the salvation, but they had no confidence. They were saved. If all the 120 of them would have died in that room, they would have gone to heaven. But God wanted to use them. God wants to use every single one of you here tonight. Every single one of us. Because the Holy Spirit dwells inside you, the believer, because you've looked to Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit, Jesus says, ask, and my Father will give him to you. It's the coming upon experience. He's speaking to believers. The word for the Spirit of God to live inside of you is the Greek word E-N. We would spell it in English, E-N. And you actually say, like you do, I-N, in. He's inside. Para, he's alongside you. Every non-Christian that's in the room now or listening, you're not a Christian. The Holy Spirit is not in you, and he's not on you. He's sitting alongside you. He's not in you. He's everywhere else in the universe, but inside of you. Because you won't let him in. And so, para, he's alongside you. And he's the one that says, you shouldn't do that. You know, if you died right now, you're going to hell. Have you ever thought about my son? You should get faith in God. But for the believer who wants to walk in the Spirit and have God use them, that's what we're going to do now. You're going to ask, and you ask just exactly as you just read a moment ago, in faith. You ask believing. What is it? You ask God to honor his word. Isn't that cool? It's all on him. So in a moment tonight, some of you, I pray all of you, but you're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you. You should ask this, by the way, every day. But before you get out of bed, you should ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you. If you've never prayed that prayer before, you're going to heaven. You're a Christian. You're trusting him. That's settled. But don't you want power? Don't you want to live outside yourself? Don't you want to live beyond yourself? You won't be sinless. There'll be times when you get loose, mess it up. You'll say something, you'll do something. Oh, man. And the Holy Spirit will say, you see what happens when you do it in your own power? You sit down, let me do this. You need his power. I need his power.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Theology and Me, Part 5. Thanks for joining us today. Theology and Me, Part 5, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series. It's a series that brings to light the foundation of human creation and why we exist in this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, we've got Pastor Jack in studio with us today. So, Pastor Jack, tomorrow is a very special day, your favorite holiday, as you've said in the past. Do we have a special Thanksgiving message for our Real Life Radio audience?
Well, Davey, that is exactly right. Tomorrow, we as a nation pause for what is truly an American holy day. So we're going to have a special program on Thanksgiving Day, and I know that all of you are going to be out and about and busy, but you know, if you're driving or maybe as a family, you might want to catch the program or record it. We think it's going to just help you open up your eyes to the meaning of Thanksgiving and why it matters.
Be sure to check in tomorrow for a very special Thanksgiving message from Pastor Jack. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.